Getting your COVID-19 vaccine has never been easier. Contact your local health care provider or the Crittenden County Health Department or the health department in your neighborhood and talk to them about setting up an appointment to get the vaccine. Did you know that August is National Vaccine Awareness Month? This podcast is sponsored by the Kentucky Diabetes Prevention Program and the Pennyryle District Health Department. This is Chris Evans with the Crittenden Press. Would like to welcome you to this week's podcast. And I have with me today a very interesting gentleman from Marion, Kentucky. Well, actually, he's from Salem, but he has clinics. He's part owner in pharmacies, I should say, in three different counties. And he's a pharmacist and a chemist by trade, I guess. And one of his pharmacies is here in Marion, Kentucky. That's KB Pharmacy. Welcome, Mike Keller.
Thank you, Chris. Appreciate you having me.
So glad that you will come on today and talk to us as a local expert and give your expertise on vaccinations. Right now, with children going back to school, it's of great concern to many families. The question is, should I have my child who's eligible for the vaccine? And if you're 12 and older, you are eligible right now. And there is some degree of certainty that those even younger will be eligible soon. So talk to us about, I guess, what those concerns might be for a family. And then we'll also get into what types of vaccines there are. They're different. The J&J is different than the other two that are currently have a preliminary FDA approval. So tell us about, number one, give us some of your background and why you, obviously as a pharmacist, you have to understand these things before you can dole out medication. So what gives you this expertise?
Well, when we went to school, I mean, pharmacy school had a lot of training that just has to do with pathology and various disease processes and, of course, obviously the medications. So we had an extensive background in that sort of thing. And more recently, there's just been a push to have pharmacists vaccinate people in order to get vaccines out there and make them more available because local pharmacies are so accessible.
Mm-hmm. You are, I guess we would say, on the front lines of this thing, and you, I'm sure, get feedback from people who have been vaccinated, and maybe what I would like to see as a parent and as an interested, I guess, just a citizen and someone who's concerned about what's going on, would like to see some quantifying data on those who have had the vaccine. I keep hearing that this variant that's out there, the Delta, which seems to be the most prolific at this time, is that the vaccine works to some great degree against it. Maybe not as well as the Alpha or the Beta that were some of the original strains, but what do you say to those people who have had the vaccine? Now you're being asked to wear a mask, and you know, what's good? Some say, what's good? You know, what good is to have the vaccine if I'm wearing it? So, how good is, and do you have any numbers to quantify?
Well, certainly, the first round went to people that were high risk or healthcare workers. So that was the primary group that got vaccinated first. So now most of the people becoming vaccinated are people who didn't get it in the first round, and it does tend to be younger individuals. Mm-hmm. You know, first of all, I think all parents know that younger people are far less at risk for serious problems from the COVID virus. So that's one of the things, I think, that's resistance to the vaccine. That's one of the first things that come to people's mind. And then, you know, I guess nobody wants to get a shot if you get right down to it. Mm-hmm. But to me, the bottom line, if you just want to look at the data, the complications from the disease still far outweigh any kind of complications from the vaccine. Mm-hmm. The side effects to the vaccine are transient, you know, a day or two. The complications from the disease can last. There's some that last for months. And of course, death is one of the possibilities, even though these things occur very rarely.
Mm-hmm. In the children who are available to get this, how important is it for these school-aged children to go ahead and get the vaccine? And would you endorse it?
You know, that's not my job.
Yeah, I don't want to put you on the spot, but
I will say my son, who was he's under 18, did get the vaccine, and you know, in terms of making policy, that I that's not my thing.
But you're comfortable enough with it that your own children are doing it that are
yes,
of age.
Yeah, yes,
yeah, and, which speaks to the matter, I think, a great deal. What I'm hearing out of a lot of the discussions that I have had my ear to, I guess, and a number of families I've heard discussing this, you know, I think there's a common denominator that many of them are concerned about their young girls, because somewhere, and I don't know if it's misinformation or what, but somewhere it's been planted in minds that this vaccine could create fertility issues. Is there any truths or any data that support that? Have you seen?
No, yeah. That's the short answer. Yeah. You know, I think it's important to point out science can't disprove a negative. Uh-huh. I mean, we can't prove that your wife's lipstick won't cause cancer, one of those ingredients. It's just, you can't do that. But what we do have is, I think the root of that, what you're talking about, came from an internet post last year, which was taken down pretty quickly because there's no evidence of it. What we do have, since healthcare workers were vaccinated in the first round and pregnancy tests were not required, it turns out we have over 135,000 women who were pregnant and got vaccinated. That was up through May of this year. Mm-hmm. So needless to say, all of those women have been followed, and there have been no adverse effects to mother or baby that have been reported. So there are essentially no safety concerns on the radar right now.
Mm-hmm. And I guess the argument is that, you know, there needs to be more time to study this, but that's the argument anytime. And that's what, like you said, what science does is you observe for immediately and for many years, and that's pretty much what science is. It's the art of observation.
Right. We're just giving you statistical probabilities mm-hmm. based upon the data we have. And so I think it's important to point out the other side of the coin here, because women who are pregnant and contract COVID are at increased risk, and we have data to support that. And they're more at risk to have complications, to possibly require intensive care, respirator, and of course, obviously death is the worst case. Those chances are small, but still they're increased mm-hmm. if you do get the disease. And preterm birth as well.
Mm-hmm. I will remind our listeners that August is National Vaccine Awareness Month. How coincidental is that, Mike?
I know.
How apropos.
I didn't even know that, and I'm vaccinating people, so it's bad.
Yeah, so this podcast today is sponsored by the Kentucky Diabetes Prevention Program and the Penny Ryle Health District. And as you mentioned, you at your pharmacies are giving the vaccine, right? And does that just walk in? Anybody just walks in and gets it, or do they need to make some sort of reservation?
We're using a company. Our wholesaler is sponsoring it, and so typically we direct people to the website and they can sign up. There's a handful of questions that you have to answer, mm-hmm. maybe about a dozen. If they're unable to do that on their own, then yes, we help them do it. I mean, if you show up at the pharmacy, we'll figure it out.
Mm-hmm. And right now, the availability, of course, I think it's common knowledge. You can call the health department mm-hmm. and get signed up to go out and make an appointment. And it's, you're in and out in no time. And depends on what shot you're getting. There may be a follow-up later if it's one of the double-dose deals. But which type of vaccine are you, or do you have options?
We have the Moderna uh-huh. in Salem, and in Dawson Springs we have the Johnson & Johnson.
Yeah, yeah. What about here in Marion?
We don't have it here at KB.
You're not offering now. So, but a lot of pharmacies are, doctors, any healthcare provider, whoever your healthcare provider mm-hmm. is, if you're interested in taking this vaccine, get with them right now. I think we saw this week that 70% of the nation now has at least has had the initial mm-hmm. vaccine. Some of them may not have had the follow-up. But here in Crittenden County, we are still hovering near the low end of not only Kentucky, but certainly the nation, at somewhere around 26-27% of our population. So one in four people that you're encountering actually has been inoculated. And those numbers really aren't that great.
No, and over 90% of the people who are getting COVID now are unvaccinated people. And from what I understand, even the vaccinated people that contract COVID are not getting serious cases. They're far less likely to be admitted to the emergency or to intensive care.
Right, and that's what I was trying to get to a minute ago, was about the data to quantify. I keep hearing that. I hear the president say it, I hear the governor say it, but I have yet to really say, have you seen any data that supports that? And the, just real raw numbers, you know, 1 out of 10 of the new cases have been vaccinated. Have you seen anything? I haven't.
You know, I'll tell you, but to prepare for this, I went to Google Scholar. Mm-hmm. So when you search on that, you only get scientific articles. I don't get any social media newspapers.
Well, some of us can't understand those, so please.
Well, and that's true, because it is a lot of technical lingo there. And I didn't look for that topic specifically, mm-hmm. but that type of information is probably out there.
Yeah,
because they usually do report the raw data.
Yeah,
it's just when the newspapers report it, they're looking at the abstract or the conclusion.
Yeah, and that's what we tend to boil things down so mm-hmm. so everybody can understand. It's not like reading a peer review paper or something to that effect. But so, what other in preparation for our conversation here today? What other interesting facts or figures can you provide for our listeners?
Well, one thing I ran across, it was a number about long-term consequences mm-hmm. From having COVID, and it was regarding children.
From having the disease.
Yes, not the vaccination. The vaccination, I mean, again, it's just a couple of days. There's that rare, I hate to even mention rare things, mm-hmm. but there's a rare incidence of pericarditis that was reported in children after the second vaccine, adolescents, I should say. It was the 12 to 15. 18 age group, typically closer to 18. But even those that developed that, they went to the doctor because they had chest pain. But then when they examined them, the EKG was normal. I think they did like an MRI that was with contrast media, which I'm like, gosh, I wouldn't want to have that myself. But anyway, they did that, and they were able to show possible pericarditis. But all of these things resolved within 7 days by giving them ibuprofen. Mm-hmm. I think there were a couple of cases they gave them a steroid. But it was really very mild. They never had any abnormal heart rhythms. On the other hand, people with the disease do develop heart rhythms. And what is that? There's an inflammatory syndrome that children can develop, and it can last 4 months or more.
Like, is the outer lining of the heart, or the
pericarditis and myocarditis, both of those things are involved. And those, that group that develop those long term, they do have abnormal rhythms, okay. and it doesn't go away just right away. So you know, that's a fairly serious sequela if you have that.
It's that's from the disease.
From the disease, that's right.
Not the vaccine.
So I mean, that's again, when you look at benefit versus risk, I mean, the disease is much more risky than the vaccine is.
And I guess you're in consultation, maybe, or in conversation with doctors. I know your wife is a nurse practitioner, and what are the doctors, have you heard any of them that are even remotely reluctant to advise patients not to get the vaccine?
I don't know any personally mm-hmm. Here in this local area. It seems like every practitioner that I have run into locally is in favor of it. Mm-hmm. I can say that some of my interactions in Paducah, I know of an ER physician, and you know, there's just a broad spectrum of people. You can expect this. I know he said he wasn't going to get the vaccine, and they tell me there's someone else down there that's advocating against it, but I've never heard why.
Yeah, never. And that's always a good question. Why do you not mm-hmm. want to get it? Maybe some people's religious beliefs. I don't know. But, I'm a very faithful person myself, but I believe that God gives all of us humans the brains, and he has given some very or very good brains, and they figure out how to keep us safe.
True, true.
And I did not question in the beginning. I took both. I had the Moderna. Have had both of my shots right as soon as I could get them. Mm-hmm. Really, when I became eligible. So was my wife, and our other workers here have had it. The children haven't, and it's more or less because we. It seems like just getting them an appointment, getting them in, you know, finding the time to make it happen. But particularly our son, who plays football, and he's around a lot of people mm-hmm. and engaged in a lot. You know, we're trying to get him in to get his shot. So, is there any higher risk, do you think, of these kids? I know the children, so far, serious illness and death in children has been very rare.
Right.
With the virus.
Mm-hmm.
But so does the concern or risk of vaccination outweigh the risk or potential long-term effects that we may not know about? I mean, as you said, the side effects now, when you get it, are irrelevant.
Right, right. Well, you know, I think, first of all, just a little history into the messenger RNA vaccines.
Which, explain that real quick before you get, are you going to do that now? Because the vaccines, the three that are out there, there's three different, or mm-hmm. Talk to us about that.
Yeah, the Johnson & Johnson, or sometimes called Janssen, is more of a traditional vaccine. It uses an inactivated virus or virus particle, and then your immune system responds. And you can't get the disease from that. The messenger RNA is different. It's a technology that has been used in about three vaccines experimentally. I think it was Zika, maybe Ebola, and I've forgotten what the other one was.
And this is in the Moderna and the Pfizer
correct.
Vaccines.
Correct. Moderna and those Pfizer. Two. You'll see the mRNA, small m and big RNA. Yeah. The technology's been around for a long time, probably 30 years. And it's pretty well understood how it works. Basically, you have a piece of RNA, a single strand, not a double strand, that's encapsulated in a lipid structure to make it stable. They inject that into your body, and that lipid, as soon as it goes inside the cell, dissolves, and it leaves that single strand of RNA, which goes into the ribosome and produces these little antigen particles that resemble the surface of the spike on the virus. Mm-hmm. And the RNA is destroyed by the cell probably within 2 hours of entering. It never reaches the nucleus. It doesn't go into the DNA. It's not stem cells. And so then it just produces these antigen particles that just go out through your body, and your immune system sees it and sees it as foreign, so it develops appropriate immunity to fight that. And it's a two types of immunity. It's cellular and humoral, as it's called. So it's a pretty good thing, and the numbers on it have been phenomenal, I think. I mean, mm-hmm. you have a vaccine that's 94% effective. That's pretty amazing.
Mm-hmm.
And you mentioned you got vaccinated early on. According to the data, you're probably still 90% affected, or protected, I should say.
Right now, I know they're talking about coming out with some boosters because they believe maybe the vaccine is weakening and not quite as adaptable to the variants. And they're talking about new variants already.
I saw the CEO of Moderna on TV 2 days ago, so I feel like this is pretty good information. He says that he believes they will have a booster just like the one you took available by September. They're also working on the Lambda variant, which is South Africa, and they're also working on the Delta variant that's mm-hmm. predominant here in the United States, and he believes they could have boosters for either one of those available. So I think that what we're going to see is the FDA will probably approve, let me just stop right there, all three of these vaccines are currently authorized under the EULA, it's Experimental Use Authorization, mm-hmm. EUA, I guess it is. They've not really been approved. It was emergency use, but I expect Pfizer is going to be approved shortly, within a month, mm-hmm. and Moderna will follow shortly after, I think.
Do you think at that point it will set folks at ease maybe a little bit more that with this emergency certification, if you will, approval, that maybe some people still are a little reluctant? You know, I always hate to get the first iPhone that comes
sure.
out. I like for them to work the bugs out of it a little bit, you know. So do you think Could that be, or, you know, I hear a lot about it. It's political, you know. Both, I hear people say, well, it's just a political issue. Draw, it's down the aisle, look at one side that's being vaccinated, the other side isn't. What do you hear?
Well, it may be political. I don't know. That's, again, that's not in my field.
Yeah.
I think that something that's new, I mean, I think it's human nature to be cautious, and there's nothing wrong with that, but I think it's important to note that any drug that's brought to market hasn't had that many people take the drug, maybe tens of thousands. And then we do post-marketing studies. Mm-hmm. And after we've done hundreds of thousands of doses or millions, then we start picking up on things that maybe they didn't pick up before it was approved. This vaccine's been given to millions and millions of people. We have lots. We've got reams of data. That may be why the FDA hasn't approved it. They just haven't gone through all the data.
Mm-hmm. In the United States alone, what we're talking about, what's the population approaching 400 million, somewhere to that effect now. So all but 30% have had the shot. And it seems like it is rural areas that have, and perhaps we feel we're in remote areas, we're a little bit more insulated from the crowds, we don't feel like we need it. You know, I know people, when the pandemic first began, I went out and talked to a couple of young farmers who just, they don't come to town.
Right.
They weren't afraid of the virus to start with. I doubt those people are too concerned about having the vaccine.
Well, right. And until they get in a crowd, I mean, they may go to a funeral or go to
That's
church
right.
or something
yeah.
like that. And, you know, I would point out also that in Haiti, my wife and my daughter were in Haiti in January. Mm-hmm. People there were asking, is this coronavirus thing real? They're like, nobody has it in Haiti. We don't know anything about it. Do people really die? And my wife was saying, yes. And they said, do you know someone? She said, yes, I do. And the same thing from a missionary in Rwanda. I can remember him saying this maybe close to a year ago. We don't have any cases.
Mm-hmm.
Well, now they do. They have a lot in Rwanda. I don't know about Haiti.
Yeah.
But I think that's just it. The rural areas, it just took longer to get there because, like you say, sometimes the people just don't go out and interact and mix with people nearly as much as if you're in New York City.
I believe it was Irvin S. Cobb, the famous humorist from Paducah, that said at the end of time he wants to be in Paducah, Kentucky because all things come to West Kentucky last.
right.
So indeed, being in these rural areas does have some reward. And again, I think in the beginning a lot of us felt a little bit more comfortable about being here rather than in New York City or Chicago. And I think now those are the places that this outbreak is this most recent outbreak, spike, I guess, in the cases are most prevalent in the cities. But, you know, I think I would encourage people to go get the shot, certainly to do your own research and whatever guiding light you use to help make decisions. Take a serious look at it. This is vaccination National Vaccine Awareness Month, I should say, and today's podcast has been brought to you and sponsored by the Kentucky Diabetes Prevention Program and the Penny Royal District Health Department, and I guess as well KB Pharmacy, because we appreciate Mike Keller being here today. Again, he has pharmacies in Hopkins County, Livingston County, and Crittenden County, along with some of your partners, and we appreciate what you guys do and how you help keep the community safe and healthy, and appreciate you coming on today and sharing your knowledge of the vaccine. Anything else that you feel would be important before we close out, Mike?
You know, there's a lot of details. I think we've hit the high points. If anyone has questions, you probably know where to find me. I'd be happy to answer any questions left over. Otherwise, Chris, thank you for having me.
Yeah, well, thank you, and we appreciate the Penny Royal District Health Department and the Kentucky Diabetes Prevention Program for being our partner in today's program. We'll remind you that August is National Vaccine Awareness Month. Get that out. Pretty apropos here at a time when it seems like the vaccine is needed more than ever as we fight this pandemic. Thank you, Mike Keller.
Thank you.